From the studios of KXCI in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie, and this is the third edition of the Southwest Derby Report. Deadline is high noon Arizona time on the 1st of October 2009, a week late in part because of the KXCI station membership drive and the, shall we say, related controlled panic. Sorry about that, but catching up this week. Another two WFTBA regionals have taken place. The fourth such tournament of the year is about to start. The people at This Way Out have gone with an edited version of a report on Derby from my imagination. You'll hear the entire thing at the end of this program. And there's scores and upcoming bouts all across the southwestern United States and points yonder to take note of. All of that coming up on this week's Southwest Derby Report. But before any of that, unfortunately, we have some very tragic news to report. The day before the WFTDA North Central Regionals were to start, a skater for one of the participating leagues, the North Star Roller Girls, was killed in a traffic mishap in Oakdale, Minnesota, a Minneapolis-St. Paul suburb. Stacy Morgan, known on the North Star track as Moxie Mayhem, was walking with her three-month-old daughter Zoe Jane Morgan when she was struck by a car. Zoe Jane was not physically injured thanks to the safety seat that she was in at the time of the mishap. What follows is how KMSP Television, Channel 9 in Minneapolis, reported the story that night.
Well, guys, this is a heartbreaking story for everybody involved. As you can imagine, this is devastating for the woman's family. And just this morning, her husband kissed her goodbye as she left their house. And unfortunately, she never made it home.
She was just going out. She loved to exercise.
As someone who was active her entire life, family members say it's no surprise Stacy Morgan would go for a run with her three-month-old daughter, Zoe. But no one could have predicted what would happen just minutes after they left the house.
This is really hard. This was just a tremendous shock for everyone.
Police say Morgan was pushing her daughter in a stroller less than half a mile from their home when a car heading in the same direction hit her from behind.
Her head was on the grass. She was laying on her side like this.
Anthony Sophie woke up to find a teenager who was in the car knocking on his front door and telling him to call 911. While the 16-year-old driver tried to help Morgan, who was laying unconscious in Sophie's front yard.
I tried to help her the best I could, but she was hurt pretty badly.
Paramedics rushed Morgan to Regents Hospital, but she died from her injuries a few hours later. Amazingly, Zoe, who was in a car seat attached to the stroller, didn't have a scratch on her. And family members believe Morgan's final act was to save her daughter's life.
I think she knew that she was going to be hit, and she had the baby in front of her, and at the last second she pushed the baby out of the way.
Family members say Morgan was a member of the North Star Girls Roller Derby team, who went by the nickname Moxie Mayhem, as well as a social worker in St. Paul who worked with underprivileged kids. And it's no surprise to her husband of 11 years that the woman who loved helping children would give up her life to save her own.
I can't even describe how much I'm going to miss her. I don't have words.
Now, police say the driver of the car is devastated by all this as well. Witnesses say he may have been blinded by the sun just before the accident while he was driving to school. Right now, investigators aren't sure if they'll file any charges in this case. They say this appears to be just a tragic accident. Reporting live in Oakdale, Maureen Glover, Fox 9 News.
The Women's Flat Track Derby Association extended its condolences to the Morgan family and dedicated the North Central Regional Tournament to Zoe Jane Morgan and the memory of Stacy Morgan. A moment of silence was observed by the athletes and fans at the opening ceremonies on Friday, September the 18th, as we do here now. Those wishing to express their condolences to the Morgan family and to the North Star Roller Girls, as well as donate to a fund that has been set up for Zoe Jane Morgan, may visit the league's website at northstarrollergirls.com. That's NorthStarRollerGirls.com. Now for the scores of the last two weekends' bouts relating to Derby leagues in the southwestern United States and points distant. Many of these results are, of course, courtesy of DerbyNewsNetwork.com. Saturday, September the 19th, at the Arizona Veterans Memorial Coliseum in the heart of Phoenix, Arizona, the Arizona Derby Dames Championship was disputed by the two teams that had won the crowns over the past three seasons. The 06 and 07 champion Brutal Beauties and the previously undefeated 08 champion Runaway Brides. Note that I said previously undefeated, as the Beauties avenged their string being broken last year by three-peating as AZDD champions for the 2009 season. The final score, the Brutal Beauties 44, the Runaway Brides 30. And that wasn't the end of the track action for the weekend in the Valley of the Sun. At the last program's deadline time, and had not been announced exactly who the Arizona Roller Derby would be skating against at their expo at USA Skateland in Mesa on Sunday the 20th of September, it turned out to be the Tucson Roller Derby Saddle Tramps, who of course needed just a 70-minute drive to the northwest on Interstate 10 to make the scene, as the TRD are going to the WFTDA Western Regionals in Denver. This expo pretty much served as a tune-up for that tourney. The final tally was the AZRD Tent City Terrors 49, the Tucson Saddle Tramps 36. Back to Saturday night, the 19th, at the Skate King in Roseville, California, the Sacramento Metro. The Sacred City Derby Girls hosted one of the road squads from the Denver Roller Dolls. Make that hosting to a fault. Sacred City didn't make the cut for Derby on the Rocks, and they didn't make the cut that Saturday night either, unfortunately. The final score was Denver 309, Sacred City 19. You heard me right. Denver racked up over 16 times the amount of points that Sacred City did. That makes my musculature ache. Whew. And in Castle Rock, Colorado, the other road unit for the Denver Roller Dolls, the Bruisin' Altitude invaded the home track of the Castle Rock and Rollers, and they didn't come away with over 16 times the home side score, merely 5 times plus. Bruisin' Altitude 261, Castle Rock and Rollers 47. And it wasn't all roses for Colorado road teams that weekend. The Pikes Peak Derby Dames made the trip from Colorado Springs all the way to Boston, where the Boston Derby Dames had just come back from the WFTDA Wicked Wheels of the East with a third-place ranking, and the Boston Dames had the Pikes Peak Dames all night long with a final tally of Boston 309, Pikes Peak 22. Ouch. Again. Call Sacramento to compare notes on healing up. Back to California, where the Central Coast Roller Derby trekked inland and paid a visit on the Derby Revolution of Bakersfield at Rollerama. That bout was at least a little more competitive than the ones I've been reporting here thus far. That final tally was Central Coast 113, Derby Revolution of Bakersfield 81. Internationally, on Sunday, September the 20th, down Melbourne way, the Victoria Roller Derby had their Toxic Avengers go up against their Reservoir Dolls. The Toxic Avengers had 36 points from the efforts of Mandatory Punishment, while Kitty Decapitate led the Reservoir Dolls with 34 points. The final score, the Toxic Avengers 114, Reservoir Dolls 86. And up in Toronto, the Toronto Roller Derby had their own Sunday night showcase in which the Gore Gore Roller Girls beat the Smoke City Bettys 103-75. Forward to Saturday, the 26th of September. San Jose Skate in San Jose, California was the site of the confrontation between the Silicon Valley Roller Girls Kamikazes and the Orange County Roller Girls Orange Crushers. It turned out that the Orange Crushers were Well, they went south before they went back south. Silicon Valley 132, Orange County 64. The Pikes Peak travel team didn't do any better in Denver than they did in Boston. That final being the Denver Shotgun Bettys 185, the Pikes Peak Slamazons 39. At the same mile-high doubleheader event, the Bad Apples got past the Green Berets 141-133. At the Evansville Memorial Coliseum in Evansville, Indiana, the Demolition City Destruction Dames held their own doubleheader, one bout of which saw the Fox City's Roller Girl Regiment visit from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. The reason I'm mentioning it on this program is that Oshkosh is where my father's side of the family is from, as well as the Derby City Roller Girls from Louisville, Kentucky. An assault on both the northern and southern fronts, if you will. Well, Demolition City fought off both successfully. It was the Destruction Dames 106, Fox City's 30, and Demolition City 133, Derby City 56. The Fox City's next-door neighbors, Appleton's Paper Valley Roller Girls, Flying Squirrels, were also on the road, this time to the southwest. They were hosted by the Cedar Rapids Roller Girls in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. The final there was Cedar Rapids 166, Paper Valley 42. In New Hamburg, Waterloo, Ontario, Canada, at the arena, the Tri-City Roller Girls brought in the Forest City Derby Girls, Thames Fatales, from London for the second September Flat Track Freak Show. Tri-City 124, Forest City 45. And in my ancestral homeland of Scotland, at the Meadowbank Sports Center on London Road in Edinburgh, Derby got medieval when the Glasgow Iron Bruisers took on Auld Reekie's Twisted Thistles in the Hassle at the Castle. Lulu and the Lovers versus the Bay City Rollers? I don't exactly think so. This time, the Glaswegians were the queens of the castle for the night. Glasgow, 110. Auld Reekie, 64. And three results of particular interest to my pal Detective Tom Downs of the Chicago Police Department. It always pays to keep an active CPD officer on your good side, you know, in several ways, believe me. Anyway, first, the Chicago Outfit decided to follow Ernie Banks' lead and said, let's skate to. The Outfit hosted Toronto, who apparently were not bringing the right level of road rage to the track. That final was the Outfit 147, Toronto 28. In the other bout of the night, the Chicago Outfit Shade Brigade defeated a slightly more spirited State Line side, 105-64. Then again, Rockford and Beloit are not nearly as long a drive as Toronto is from Chicago. Then, on Sunday, September the 27th, the Windy City Second Wind blew into Rockford to take on the Rockford Rage. This time, the visiting clique got the job done. Windy City 76, Rockford 23. And two WFTDA regional tournaments to catch up on now. Thanks again to Justice Feelgood Marshall at DerbyNewsNetwork.com for covering the events. First up, starting back on the 18th of September at the Roy Wilkins Auditorium in St. Paul, Minnesota. The WFTDA Brawl of America North Central Regional Tournament took place. Opening round action started with the 9th-seeded Brew City Bruisers taking on the 8th-seeded North Star Roller Girls, the latter of whom, while not official hosts of the tournament, did have a lot of hometown support present. Brew City 140, North Star 113. Brew City went on to a quarterfinal duel of America's Dairyland, west of the St. Croix River, with the 3rd-seed Mad Rollin' Dolls from Madison that same afternoon. North Star went on to the consolation round. Game 2 saw the 7th-seeded Grand Raggedy Roller Girls go up against the 10th-seed Burning River Roller Girls. Final score there, Burning River 130, Grand Raggedy 66. Burning River went on to meet 2nd-seed Detroit in the quarterfinals later Friday afternoon. Grand Raggedy went on to the consolations. Then it came time to start the quarterfinals with the 6th-seeded host Minnesota Roller Girls meeting the 1st-seeded Windy City Rollers, hot off of their appearance with Drew Barrymore at Wrigley Field earlier in the week. And hot was the word, as the final was Windy City 155 to Minnesota 25. Windy City advanced to a Saturday bout against the winner of Friday's final contest, while Minnesota would have to take on their across-the-river rivals, North Star, to see who got the chance at fifth place. And then came that duel of America's Dairyland, and the Madisonians just weren't about to let the Milwaukeeans get past them. It was the Dairyland Dolls all the way, thoroughly bruising the Bruisers to the tune of 199-56. Mad advanced to the Saturday semis, where they would take on the winner of the very next Friday bout, while the Bruisers would take on the loser of that next bout in the seventh place finish. Said next bout being the Lake Erie battle of Burning River and Detroit. As it turned out, it was all Motown, with Detroit scoring 136 and a Saturday crack at the Dairyland Dolls, and Burning River scoring 44 in a spot against Brew City for 7th or 8th place. Friday's action ended with the last two fresh sides of the tournament, the 4th-seeded arch-rival Roller Girls and the 5th-seeded Cincinnati Roller Girls. Although Cincinnati led all the way, the St. Louis side put on a fierce comeback and almost managed to pull it out, but I said almost. It was Cincinnati 94, arch-rival 86. Cincy advanced to the semis against Windy City, while the Missourians went on to face Grand Raggedy for a crack at 5th place in the consolation round. Saturday got off to a hometown start with North Star and Minnesota squaring off. It was the first regulation length meeting of the two Twin Cities sides, and the hometown crowd helped to make this pretty much the most exciting matchup of the day to attend, and North Star Jawbreaker was eventually able to log a win over her former teammates on the MNRG, the final score being North Star 76, Minnesota 61. North Star would then play Sunday for 5th place, and Minnesota would try to avoid the cellar by grabbing 9th place. In their consolation matchup, arch-rival would show absolutely no mercy to Grand Raggedy. The final would be arch-rival 141, Grand Raggedy 26. Arch-rival was then set to battle North Star for 5th place on Sunday. Grand Raggedy would reach for the cellar door against Minnesota. It turned out to be a high-scoring overtime affair for 7th place between Brew City and Burning River. The Brew Crew pulled it out 126-116. Brew City took 7th place in the tournament, while Burning River took 8th. Windy City continued their heavily winning ways by putting Cincinnati in a box and wrapping it tightly 163-36. And the Mad Rollin' Dolls faced down a feisty Detroit side 107-95, setting up the final matchups for Sunday. The Dairyland Dolls against Windy City for the championship, and Cincinnati against Detroit for the 3rd place slot. Sunday started out with the two biggest disappointments of the tournament, host Minnesota and visiting Grand Raggedy, who'd come to the tourney about mid-table and were now slugging it out for that door out of the cellar. It wound up Minnesota 91 and 9th place, sending Grand Raggedy back to Michigan with 75 and 10th place. North Star came away with not only the Twin Cities bragging rights, but also besting Minnesota's opening seeding by one slot. In fact, both North Star and arch-rival were as much above their expected positions as Minnesota and Grand Raggedy were below theirs. Still, it would be North Star who would go back across the Mississippi River with 5th place after defeating arch-rival 85-43, sending arch-rival back down the Mississippi to St. Louis Mo with 6th place. And the big highlight of the 3rd place bout was a monster 2-jam run. About 20 minutes in, first Sarah Hipple put 10 points on the board for Detroit, after which Sista Slitya scored 10 more Detroit points, and then passed the star to Racer McChaser, who doubled that on her own. It was that 40-point run that killed Cincinnati's chances for a national berth, sending them home to the Queen City in 4th place. The final tally was Detroit 126, Cincinnati 62. Detroit came away with 3rd place and a slot against Gotham in the opening round of the Nationals. The North Central Championship was decided early on, with Windy City beating the Mad Rollin' Dolls 150-56. With that championship, Windy City earned a bye in the Nationals, while the Mad Rollin' Dolls will have to face off against Boston's Derby Dames in the opening round of the Nationals. singing in the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley with Drew Barrymore and winning the WFTDA North Central Regionals within a six-day span. That was one hell of a week for the Rollers, who more than earned their rest on the seventh day. Now for the WFTDA South Central Regional Southern Fried Smackdown in Atlanta, which started Friday, September the 25th, with the 8th-seeded West Texas Roller Dolls being upset by Lincoln, Nebraska's 9th-seeded No Coast Derby Girls, 109-79, with No Coast going on to battle the 3rd-seeded Houston Roller Derby a few hours later. Then the 7th-seeded Tampa Bay Derby Darlings took on the 10th-seeded Memphis Roller Derby. That one was not an upset. Tampa Bay 229, Memphis 109. And the Floridians meeting the 2nd-seeded Kansas City Roller Warriors that evening. Third up were the 6th-seeded Nashville Roller Girls and the 1st-seeded Texas Roller Girls out of Austin, with those Texecutioners living up to their name, 207-23, sending Texas into the semifinals against the winner of Friday's last bout. Houston then decided to make a muscular entrance in the tournament, showing absolutely no mercy to No Coast, 183-45, and Kansas City decided to douse Tampa Bay in a whole lot of Parker's mood. That's the blues, folks. Kansas City 198, Tampa Bay 77. And that meant it would be Houston against Kansas City on Saturday in the semifinals. And Friday's action wrapped up with the last two fresh sides of the day, the 4th-seeded Dallas Derby Devils taking on the 5th-seeded host Atlanta. The pitchforks were well placed, with Dallas winning 122-91, and the Devils becoming the 3rd Texas team to make the 4-team semifinals, which I'm sure irritated more than a handful of the Georgians attending. The Saturday scoring went like this. Nashville 212 over West Texas 49. Atlanta getting back on their feet with a 190-77 walloping of Memphis. Tampa Bay getting by No Coast 127-110, making Tampa Bay 7th place and the Nebraskans 8th on the tournament. The Texecutioners handling Dallas the worst drubbing of the whole tournament, 288-19. And Kansas City barbecuing Houston 118-56. Sunday led off with Memphis taking 9th place away from West Texas 134-82, sending WT home in the cellar. Hosts Atlanta redeemed themselves to their hometown crowd by grabbing 5th place in a 126-66 defeat of Nashville, sending 6th place to Music City, USA. The natural rivalry between Houston and Dallas proved to make a great little third-place bout, with Houston grabbing that third-place ranking and a ticket to the Nationals with a 113-101 nail-biter over the Devils. And in the championship bout, the Texecutioners took the crown home to Austin by fixing a little barbecue of their own with Kansas City on the spit, 150-73. Congratulations to the Texecutioners are definitely in order. This weekend we have Derby across the Southwest and in Points Yonder, so listen closely. One of these riots will be likely going on within driving distance of you. First off, of course, is Derby on the Rocks 2009. The WFTDA Western Regional Tournament in Denver. It all starts Friday, October the 2nd, with the Tucson Roller Derby taking on the co-host Rocky Mountain Roller Girls, the winner of which goes on to face Portland, Oregon's Rose City Rollers later the same day. Then the Angel City Derby Girls square off against the Pikes Peak Derby Dames, and the winner between those two will go on to face the co-host Denver Roller Dolls also that evening. Albuquerque's Duke City Derby will take on the Ole Rollers from Olympia, Washington, and the marquee bout of the calendar date will see the San Francisco Bay Area Derby Girls skate against Seattle's Rat City Roller Girls. It all continues from there through to Sunday. Boutcasts at DerbyNewsNetwork.com and the results here next week on the Southwest Derby Report. Elsewhere, on Saturday the 3rd of October in Honolulu, Hawaii, Kamiloiki Park, 7750 Hawaii Kai Drive, the Pacific Roller Derby hosts the San Diego Derby Dolls. As well, the SDDD B team will be bouting the Maui Roller Girls at Maui's home track. In California, the Paso Robles Event Center at 2198 Riverside Avenue, the Central Coast Roller Derby hosts the Santa Cruz Roller Girls, and in Sacramento, at Foothill Skate Inn, 4700 Auburn Boulevard, Sac City Rollers, action kicks off at 7 o'clock with the Junior Derby scrimmage, and at 8 o'clock, the Sweaty Bettys take on the Rude Girls. In Ogden, Utah, Derby News Network is reporting about between the O-Town Derby Dames and the Castle Rock and Rollers, but I can't find anything about that on either league's website. Be advised anyway. Quebecois Derby invades New Jersey at the Asbury Park Convention Hall as the Montreal Sexpos pay a visit on the Jersey Shore Roller Girls All-Stars. Canadian Derby at London, Ontario, the Western Fair Canada Building, London's Forest City Thames Fatales, host Ottawa's Rideau Valley Slaughter Daughters. I produced and submitted a piece on the Derby Renaissance to This Way Out, the LGBT radio news magazine program, who included an edited version of it in this week's installment. Here's the whole piece, and you tell me if you think I did a good job on it.
She comes from Kansas City, in the middle of the land. She was the queen of the game, but love never came with a man, with a man. Now all they know is her name.
Back in 1972, roller derby was so popular that even Phil Oakes, that most political of the 60s Greenwich Village folkies, was a fan, leading him to write and record this theme tune for the 1972 movie Kansas City Bomber. MGM, the film's distributors, didn't use it in the theatrical cut of the flick, but Oakes had A&M Records put it out as a single anyway. Around the same time, roller derby characters popped up on other mainstream pop music repertoires. Not only did both Leon Russell and the Canadian band Copperpenny sing about the Queen of the Roller Derby, but Jim Croce also did an item called Roller Derby Queen, which he sold a few million copies of. Roller derby had been developed in Chicago during the Great Depression of the 30s and became so popular during that time, continuing through the World War II years, that when ABC started their television network in 1948, one of the first things they scheduled was a weekly roller derby match live from the 14th Regiment Armory in Brooklyn. By September 1949, it became so popular a television draw that ABC aired it three nights a week in prime time on Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays, with only two other ABC programs generating higher Nielsen ratings, The Lone Ranger and the game show Stop the Music, both of which shared the Thursday night schedule with roller derby. One of the roller derby commentators on ABC, Ed Begley, used it as a springboard to a highly successful career as an actor on early television and eventually Hollywood movies. The sport also continued successfully after leaving the ABC network with two leagues, the International Roller Derby League out of San Francisco, where the Bay Area Bombers were the powerhouse to beat at Kezar Pavilion, and the National Roller League out of the Olympic Auditorium in Los Angeles, featuring longtime league champions, the Los Angeles Thunderbirds. The top stars in both leagues were household names throughout America, like the ultimate heel, Psycho Ronnie Raines, at whom fans would throw their sodas only to have Raines take the paper cups and chew them as if they were his dinner. Joan Weston and Shirley Hardman, who the fans considered the actual queens of the roller derby, depending upon which league we're talking about, and the infamous Ann Calvello, whose purple hair and super surly attitude made her a punk rocker decades before anybody ever heard of the Sex Pistols. Roller derby was a staple of American television through the 1960s and 1970s, but for some reason in the 80s, it evaporated until you couldn't find it anywhere on the TV dial. Eventually, there were a couple of attempts to revive it. In 1988, there was something called Roller Games, which modified the track and introduced masked skaters that broke time matches by wrestling around in a pit amongst live alligators. That barely lasted one season in syndication. And then, circa 98, a version called Roller Jam, which changed the track again, this time to a figure eight, and used rollerblade inline skates rather than the four-wheeled quad skates of lore. That's Diff 2. Then in 2001, first in Austin, Texas, then in Phoenix and Tucson, Arizona, then nationwide, before anybody knew it, Derby was back.
I'm back! Ow!
Teams of female amateur roller derby skaters began starting their own municipal leagues, independently of any commercial organization. These leagues took the basic rules of the original sport and, unlike the commercial versions of the 60s and 70s, which had begun to borrow professional wrestling's trappings of kayfabe, constructing choreographed storylines around the action on the track, they started playing the sport legitimately again. The skaters developed their own culture of spoofing the hype of commercial sports by adopting track names like Hill and Wheels, a legend in Phoenix and now in Tucson, or Punky Bruiser and Venus Envy in Austin. And although some leagues like the Los Angeles Derby Dolls and the TXRD Lone Stars in Austin hold their bouts on banked tracks like the original derby skaters did, most of the new breed skate their bouts on the same flat track surfaces as roller hockey and indoor soccer. There are now literally hundreds of amateur roller derby leagues across North America, Europe, New Zealand, and Australia, with some cities being home to two or more. The Phoenix metro area alone is now home to the Arizona Roller Derby, Renegade Roller Girls Arizona, the Arizona Derby Dolls, the Valley Fever Roller Demons, and Tempe's Desert Dolls Roller Derby. That's only accounting for the women skating the sport. There have recently been new teams and leagues formed of male derby skaters, such as the Dry Heat Derby here in Tucson. One of the skaters, Space Case, happens to be an out gay man, and he says other out gay male derby skaters are finding out what their lesbian counterparts in the new amateur leagues have been knowing for a long time already.
There's not a backlash. Like, you can be open in roller derby, opposed to as a football player would get backlash for being openly gay. In roller derby, we really don't care who you are, what, you know, who you sleep with. We're just out there to play the game. We're a team. And we really don't, when we're on the track, we really don't differentiate between gay, straight, bisexual, transgender. If you can play the game, you're willing to play, come on out. When we went to play Dallas, those guys know me, and there was really no conflict or anything like that. We're just there for the game and the sport, despite, you know, who you sleep with or who you are. And I think it's awesome, because the guys that I skate with are just, they're like my brothers. It's just, it's awesome to be around them. We joke, we have a good time. But when it comes down to business, we skate hard, we play hard, and we have a lot of fun doing it. So in our league, there's really no difference between who you are. Everybody's accepted, and I like that. It's comfortable. I've never really been into any type of sports throughout my entire life except for roller derby, and now that I get a chance to play, it's nice to have a good group of people, some good friends around you.
Well, you can play my game if you just tell me your name. Well, you can play my game, but I'll put you to shame.
The commercial mass media have certainly noticed the roller derby resurgence. In 2006, A&E ran the reality series The Roller Girls about the TXRD Lone Star League in Austin, and subsequently released it on DVD. The theme tune was something by the Donnas called Play My Game. That's the tune that you're hearing in the background right now. And now, for the first time since 1972, a major film studio, in this case Fox, is releasing a Hollywood movie about roller derby, titled Whip It. It's Drew Barrymore's first crack at directing a feature film. It's already getting a lot of great reviews from its world premiere screening at the Toronto International Film Festival a couple of weeks ago. Whip It is scheduled for wide release throughout the United States and Canada on October the 2nd, and in Australia and other parts of the world a week after that. I asked Space Case what plans the Dry Heat Derby had in mind for their future.
Keep it skater owned and operated. Basically, we get to say what we want to put on the track. You know, we don't have sponsors saying, okay, you got to do this, you have to do that. We're in control of our league. And I like that. Right now, we actually have a team building up in Phoenix. And so we'll have a team down here in Tucson, Dry Heat Militia, and a team up in Phoenix called the Dry Heat Rattle Skates. And finally, we're going to have a team close enough that we'll be able to play on a regular basis. Right now, the men's leagues are so far spread out that the closest to us would probably be Dallas and Tacoma. There's nothing on the West Coast as of yet.
So, after watching Drew's movie, check out derbyroster.com and find out where your nearest roller derby league is located. And I'll see you at the track. From the studios of affiliate KXCI in Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Now back to Ball Sangales. Of course, a quick reminder that the Drew Barrymore movie Whip It opens wide at the United States and Canadian theaters on Friday the 2nd of October. I caught a promo screening of it earlier this week at a Tucson theater, and it is well worth the trip. Although I don't know if that $3.95 I paid for 20 ounces of Powerade at the snack bar can ever be justified, but that's a different matter for a different discussion. Whip It also opens in Australia and other points worldwide next weekend. Go check it out. And that's this week's Southwest Derby Report, troops. Again, remember to make sure that your team's bout is covered on the Southwest Derby Report. Always get me the date and send me the information regardless of where it is in the derby world. You can make your own spoken word report on MP3 and send it in if you want. And email all of that to the Southwest Derby Report at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. This program is produced at the studios of KXCI Tucson, Arizona, where it wouldn't be a bad idea to email our general manager, Randy Peterson, at randy@kxci.org and let him know how much you appreciate KXCI allowing the Southwest Derby Report to be produced here. I'm King David McKenzie. Make sure to get out of the next 7 days alive, everybody. So don't take me home. Your mama won't like me.